So, this is the Little Saigon Report again. I know I just posted a podcast a couple hours ago, but I felt like I needed to wash that one out of my mouth and out of my mind. I just had a sip of water, so if you heard that, I apologize. But I needed to talk about that particular subject because it's one of those demons that haunts me. It's not something I think about all the time, but it's one of those demons. So I'm not going to mention it, but if you want to listen to something dark for about 45 minutes, it's the previous podcast. I'm not sure this will be a lot less dark. In some ways, it may end up being more dark, but I believe that it falls into the category of further explanation. I'd also like to add an errata. I added a note to the previous podcast. My sister Nancy died in 2012. So some of my historical references got screwed up. I have a hard time thinking about it. A lot of crap happened during those years, 2012, 2013, and frankly, years before and years after that. It's stuff I wish I could just forget. So sometimes I do a lot to try to forget, but yeah, Nancy died in 2012, and it was a really tough time for the whole family. The one thing I would say about the topic in general, before I continue, I feel like I need to add a preface or some boilerplate. As if, I don't know, some legal language of sorts. Now, I'm kind of kidding, but some explanation, a prologue, I guess you could call it that. As prologue, I have to say, I don't consider myself to be a righteous man. I don't think of myself as being Christ-like. I am a Christian, but there's no church right now that I follow. I tried to engage with churches when I was in Indianapolis back in 2014, and I just found that almost like Rip Van Winkle, because I'd been an atheist most of my life until around about the time my sister Nancy died, and so I started looking for a church, and I almost like Rip Van Winkle spending all those years, as an atheist, when in reality, I think I was simply angry at God. But spending all those years as an atheist, I feel like I reemerged from my atheism towards faith, and I found a faithless world. I'm not sure if that makes any sense, but it was my experience in 2014. So before I continue too far down this road, before I get too crazy, because some of this is going to sound crazy to some of you folks. If you're a materialist, a strict materialist, if you're like a Bertrand Russell, B.F. Skinner type, if you see the world in purely scientific, mathematical, logical, experimental, material, empirical terms, if you cannot allow yourself even the possibility that there's more to your world than what the calculator calculates or the microscope can see, then you're probably not going to understand this. I don't think you'll understand one bit of it. Or you might, but you'll probably think I'm crazy. In fact, the most likely outcome is that if you do like what I'm saying in terms of, listening to me, but you think I sound crazy, you'll say, "Gee, Dan, it sounds like you need some mental help." And I would say in response, "Well, I probably think pretty much the entire, human species at this point in human history could probably use some counseling." But that's a separate topic as well. I think we're all a little crazy. So I don't want you to think of me as someone who's preaching the righteous path in some sense and claiming to be somebody who's not. Sin is real, and I'm a sinner. And I'm not saying I've committed horrible sins, but I have done things I am deeply ashamed of. And one of them happened quite recently, about a year ago. It's funny, about, I would say, 4 years after I re-engaged my faith in God, I lost my faith in the government. It was during the 2016 election. I used to be a libertarian. And I think that was the last stop. The last stop on my way to being an anarchist was stopping at the libertarian stop. I don't know. On the train of human existence, I was at the libertarian stop. I hung out there, and then I got back on the train, on my way to actual freedom. But during that period of time, I was also kind of at the point of just, I don't know how to explain this, simply just giving up on humanity. I've never really been a nihilist, but I've always dreamt about having the ability to at least, I don't know, stop caring as much as I've cared about things. I don't know how you turn that off, and there really isn't a drug for that. You know, people will say, well, self-medication or go on Prozac, and I've done all those things. They'll say mindfulness and meditation. Okay, listen, I could try every gimmick in a book, but there are actual emotions we should experience. And when horrible shit happens, it should make you sad. I'm not saying sad all the time. I'm not saying that you should become so morose that you never escape the black hole of, you know, of that experience, being so crestfallen. What I'm saying is that in a horrible situation, it's normal to feel fear, to feel sadness, to feel anger. In fact, it is in fact something science knows. It's fight or flight, James Lang. It's one of those things that's intrinsic to many biological systems. The avoidance of pain, you know, the avoidance of pain and the desire to seek out safe spaces to survive. That's normal. That's a living behavior. And so, yeah, I can tell you in 2016 when I recognized that I was an anarchist, what I probably should have done, and I came close to doing this, was just drop off the face of the earth, which means go into the cave for a while. If I had done that in 2016, just sort of just disconnected, completely took it, you know, just take a completely different path. But what I ended up doing is I made a really terrible mistake. I ended up working with this dude who was kind of a, I don't want to go into depth, but he was just sort of a fraud. And he took advantage of me, and I went deeply into debt because of a horrible decision to work with a fraud of a human being. That's the nicest way I can put it. And then I come back from that experience, and I start connecting with people in the anarchist world. And that wasn't necessarily bad, but I was doing it on Twitter. And Twitter's just, I don't know how to put this. Social media in general, that whole region of existence, is horrible. It does horrible things to people. There's a concept in military science called mechanical distance. And the idea is this. There's a big difference between killing somebody with a knife, you know, shiving them, or being behind the joystick of a drone and firing a Hellfire missile at somebody, or a group of people, because, you know, you can kill a whole bunch of people with one missile. The point is, up close, there's no mechanical distance. It's very personal, very real. But when you're, especially when you're sitting in that drone room, and you might even be in the United States of America, and you just went to Burger King, and so you go back and you're on your joystick and getting ready to light up some weddings, you might kill one terrorist and probably kill 50 men, women, and children in addition to that terrorist. From this perspective, it's simply easier because you have mechanical distance. It's a real thing. Actually, it's one of the reasons why they play with coloring and resolution. This is something people don't know. But when it comes to systems that produce a view of the battlefield, there's actual psychological studies that show you don't want it to be too realistic. You almost want it to be grainy because people don't want to feel like they're killing actual people. It turns out, and I think this is true, I can't prove it, but I believe it's true, most people are not jerks. Most people are not scumbags. It's not to say people don't make mistakes, but most people, if you give them a chance, if they're allowed to exist without compulsion, without fear, without constantly wondering, oh, how will I end up in jail today? Most people will be decent with each other. And most people do not want to fire Hellfire missiles at weddings. That's actually normal. It's normal to not want to set people on fire with white phosphorus. And I know that's a bit of a rant, but Twitter is a lot like this, and so is Facebook. All social media creates it does a bunch of things. I mean, I don't want to talk about dopamine channels and the fact that it feeds certain aspects of social mammalian behavior that, while functional in nature, become toxic in social media. That's a separate topic. I don't want to talk about food pellets and likes and all that other crap. But in terms of the things people can say to each other, I will honestly say this. The stuff I posted on Twitter, even when I became the worst trollish version of myself, like recently I participated in these NPC campaigns. I wasn't going to ever go back on Twitter. I knew I could only last a few weeks, but I pretended to be, a true believer Democrat, and I just sort of trolled them, and I did the whole NPC thing. It was fun. If some Democrat came up to me and said, "Dan, you're so terrible," I would have no problem defending every single post. Now, of course, they might not have a sense of humor. And that also relates to some of my previous posts. Like, people are going crazy. I'm part of the group. I'm probably a little bit crazy myself. There are lines I won't cross. I do not think words, harsh words, are hand grenades. But a lot of snowflake Antifa, George Soros wannabes who are basically forming thug armies, they think that harsh words equals hand grenades. These are the same people who will set Julian Assange on fire and who really don't think too deeply about all the people murdered under Obama using drones. So yeah, there's not a lot of consistency there when it comes to the value of life, So Twitter creates a kind of mechanical distance. And that is part of the problem, is that people will say terrible things because they think they can get away with it. It's kind of like, in some ways, Twitter is or could be, and I believe in free speech, so I think it should be like this. I think there's smarter ways to deal with trolls than adopting censorship and ridiculously ambiguous rules. Twitter is crap. Social media is crap. But yeah, it's one of those situations where it allows people to say things that under normal circumstances they might not say. And even if they would say them, it's just, I don't know. It's a lot like prank phone calls. I mean, when I was a kid, we did prank phone calls, and there was a time when you could get away with it. I mean, this is before caller ID. So you can tell how old I am that I was successful at doing prank phone calls, because that became very difficult starting sometime in the early 90s. But no, when I was a kid, we did prank phone calls, and it was fun. And we tried to stay within certain, I don't know, I have a hard time discussing the ethical boundaries of a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old or, frankly, older. But we tried to keep it within certain boundaries. Like, you don't want to do certain things. But on the other hand, it was fun. It was kind of, it was like TPing and stuff like that. Stuff that I did as a kid would probably get me thrown in jail today or worse. And I say or worse because welcome, 2019 is right around the corner, and you can also call it or worse. I'm just kidding, but yeah, or worse. So I'm drifting a bit off the topic, but I wanted to talk about this anarchist stuff because during that time, I should have just sort of isolated myself. I should have gotten the fuck off Twitter. It would have been good. I, in hindsight, everyone says what you should have done, but it's what I should have done. Instead, I treated Twitter as a proxy for real human connection. And because of it, I kind of drifted into a really bad space. And in the process, I actually hurt some people that didn't deserve to be hurt. And I don't want to say more than that because that's doxing, but if they ever read this, if they ever hear this, I don't know that they'd want to forgive me, but I know that I went insane at one point. Like, this isn't figurative. I literally went crazy at one point in 2017. I won't say the date, I won't say where it was, but I went crazy and I said really shitty things, really horrible things. And there's some background to the story that might help, especially with what the rest of this podcast is going to be about. But there's really no excuse. I can't blame someone for this. I made decisions that pushed myself over the edge, and I went crazy, and I said really horrible shit to people that did not deserve it. Now, I also made a thread about something which I cannot repeat because it's too embarrassing to repeat. But I never intended to do it, but that's even worse, because that's kind of like the bullshit of a bully coward. So at the end of the day, I almost lost myself in 2017. I'm not even sure I found myself yet. my choice at the end of 2017, and I'll be honest about it, because that's where I was. I'm not there today. I'm actually in a better space. You know, I wouldn't say I'm thousands of light years away, but certainly a few light years away. But yeah, a year ago, before I moved back to Seattle, it was a choice between going to Seattle or, you know, going someplace else. And I won't say where that other place is. That's what the previous podcast is about. And in hindsight, you know, even to this day, I wonder. I'm not saying that, you know, but yeah, I wonder. I was this horrible monster, and I'd never been that person before. That's the other thing, too. And maybe this is the, I don't know, maybe this is the silver lining. But I have to say, it was one of the most out-of-character moments of my entire existence. And not just in one way. Like, during 2017, I developed this really, really, really gross obsession with a woman I barely knew. And yeah, you know, there was actual communication, but from her perspective, it was like friendship. From my perspective, it was, here's a lonely software engineer in Indianapolis, and what he sees is a dead-end job. And I'll be honest with you, it was an okay-paying dead-end job. It wasn't the worst job, but I kind of just lost my zest for life, and I developed this really, really gross, I'd never happened before, really gross obsession about a woman. Now, is it possible that other people have had those types of experiences? Yes. Is it likely that I will ever repeat that again for the rest of my life? No. The person I met in 2017, at the end of 2017, was a really busted up, broken soul. And I'm not even sure I completely remember that person. But I do know it was me. And I do know that ultimately, I was a giant douchebag. Now, I will say this, not in my defense, but as a way to get into the coming topic, I did feel like there was in my life at that time, and also when I was in Ireland with the Goat King, who I don't want to talk about right now. Both in Ireland with the Goat King and the other situation, I always had this sense that there was something behind the scenes. And when I say behind the scenes, this is when the materialists and the empiricists and the skeptical inquirers will furl their heads and wag their tails and their fingers and get really, really upset and maybe even perturbed. But I had a feeling in 2016 and 2017 that there were these events in my life where there was something else there. And I won't say it was Jesus. It was not Jesus. If God is in my life, I can usually tell. I'll give you an example. I was on a contract a while back here in Seattle, working a software gig. Stupid job, stupid people. But there was a good taco place down the street. I went to get tacos. Now, the tacos were good, but they took a little too long. And even the woman who ran the place apologized. She said, well, we were changing out this. And listen, I wasn't in a hurry. I wasn't stressed out. Grabbed the tacos, walking down the sidewalk. Right in front of me, like I would say 10 feet in front of me, I saw a seagull swoop down, drop a poop. If I had been a little further down the road, like if somehow my tacos had been delivered a little bit early, I might have got a poop on me. Now, you might say, Dan, that's not God. That's just luck. And it could very well be. But what I will say, and of course what I just talked about was silly, but what I will say is that at that moment, I thought to myself, my first thought wasn't dumb luck. My first thought was, well, thank you, Lord. You know, even if you weren't looking out for me, even if this is the most inconsequential thing in the universe, which it actually is, I'm kind of glad with my tacos in hand that I didn't get pooped on by a seagull. The things that happened in 2016 and 2017, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was the opposite thing. It was the waking dream experience, which, again, is studied by neurobiologists and people who think about temporal lobe seizures. But it was a lot like that sleep paralysis, where you wake up and you feel that dread behind you, but you can't turn to see it. You can't get away. the stuff I experienced in 2016 and 2017 was like that. And it surrounded me, and I think it was related to other people, but for the most part, I think it was stuff that was around me. Like, no matter where I went, there were these voices, these demons, these, yeah, I'm going to call them demons. These demons in my life. And at first, you know, you would call it human frailty, but over time it starts to seem like something else. You see, I don't think of myself as a righteous man. I keep repeating that because it's important. I'm not saying I'm the worst person in the world, and I'm not saying I haven't tried to help people, but in no way would I call myself a saintly person. Do I believe in God? Yes. Do I think I'm saved? Well, according to one interpretation, Christ died for our sins, and through faith we are saved. So, according to one interpretation, I'm saved, but I'll be blunt. The way I look at things is this. You might be saved through faith alone, but in some sense, faith is proved through what you do and what you say. I'm not saying that the act of faith requires other acts, but in some sense, there is no act of faith unless those other things are there. Now, that's just my own belief. I'm not going to contend that you are not saved through faith. I just think that there are a lot of people. I mean, this is what I would say. Demons believe in God. Demons know God. Demons know that God exists. Satan believes in God. Believe me, Satan knows that God exists. So the fact that somebody says, I have faith in God, I don't know that that necessarily means they're a good person. But I do believe you're saved through faith. It's just that the test of faith is not words. You know, any evil person can write, I believe in God, on a piece of paper. That act is not a testament of faith if all you have for your book of life are acts of evil. So I guess I would say this. The way you testify to your faith is through what you do. I've always kind of believed that even when I was an atheist. Like, even as an atheist, I had these crude notions of good and evil. So for me, this makes sense. If you want to testify to your faith, do it through acts, do it through words. And in that sense, maybe I'm an average person. Maybe I have a 50-50 chance of making it into heaven. But you know what? Those odds aren't bad. And those odds can improve. I mean, part of my faith is that if I do live long enough, which means if I don't give in to my darkness, there's a chance I can be saved. But 2016 and 2017, looking back, I feel like there were demons in my orbit. And I think maybe one of them took human form. It wasn't here, it wasn't in this country, but I think I met somebody in a far-off land, and that's as much as I want to say about that, who might have been, you know, if not possessed, close to. But the thing is, how the hell do I know? I'm not some frickin', you know, priest of the ancient church who reads ancient Latin and Aramaic and who studies all the ancient rites. I have no clue, okay? It's a feeling. Imagine if I told you I was walking down a hillside, and let's say abstractly, Ireland, in June of 2016, and it was not late at night, but it was around, you know, 11 p.m., and it was dark out, and I walked by a, I don't want to call it a corral, but an enclosure for sheep. And instead of just baying like, bah, 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 they were going, Dan, Dan. I am not making this shit up. That's what I heard walking down this road in some hypothetical far-off land in 2016. I heard sheep saying my name. Now, the way they said it is what was interesting. In retrospect, I feel like what they were trying to say was, Dan, get the fuck out of here. Now, the feeling I got from the sheep, very, very different. More like not getting pooped on by the seagull, okay? They were not there to hurt me. I think they were probably there to warn me, but, you know. I got a pretty thick head. It took me 5 days to hypothetically escape that hell dimension. But yeah, to some extent, I think there is this other world. If I told you that I believe that the world is ruled by people who are either demons themselves or who worship demons, would you call me insane? This is a simple statement. I'm going to say this because this is kind of the core point of this podcast, though. It took a long time. I'm having another drink of water on that subject. It took a while to get here. But if I said that the world as we know it, the entire world, the hierarchy of bullshit we call the world, the human world, I don't mean the ecosystems of trout and duck and deer. I don't mean the untouched lands, although at this point, with all the pollution from Fukushima and all the other shit we do, I don't know where that untouched place is. But the human world, the world of bullshit, that world is more or less owned by evil at this point. That's my opinion. Is it 100% evil? I don't know. Maybe it's only 70%. But the thing is, if you were a, let's say you were a burger shack, you made cheeseburgers, and you said, Dan, this is a great burger, but it's 70% dog shit. And it was literally, not figuratively, literally 70% dog shit. But the actual beef part's really good. I would not buy that burger, okay? So when I say that not everybody in that system is evil, that doesn't imply that I want to take a bite. It really, really doesn't. And it doesn't imply that I think you should either. But people do every fucking day. Every time they spend their time walking, when they should be looking around, staring at that little glowing rectangle, that smart device in front of them, yeah, they're worshiping. They may not realize they're worshiping, but boy, I mean, between being raised Catholic and that experience, in some sense, I see more discipline from people looking at their iPhones than I saw at Catholic Mass on Christmas Eve in prayer. I mean, yeah, it is a kind of worship at this point. Now, of course, their God pays, you know? I mean, that's kind of the philosophy. They plug into it, and it plugs into them, and they get access to goodies. And in a few years, without some type of device like that, either in a phone or injected into your arm, you probably won't be able to get any, you know, food or water. But that's a whole nother topic, right? I already sound crazy enough. Would you call me insane if I said the world, the human world, of politics, economics, art, everything, culture, the whole shebang is mostly ruled by evil? I never believed that. You know, if I go back in time, especially to my early 20s, because I think that was one of my first periods of what I would call my own enlightenment, my own kind of a kind of schism in my life that led to a new way of looking at the world. But, you know, I never believed all those years that it was irredeemably evil. But I'm almost at the point now where I would say it's possible that much of the world, if not most of it, is irredeemably evil. I don't know, because Christ saves and God judges, and I'm not the judge, you know? I don't judge who's good or evil. I'm simply saying that, yeah, I believe something that sounds crazy. I feel like most of the people that run things, all the way up and down the chain, this could even be your manager. This could be somebody who tells you when you get the shit. Most of those people, I think, are actually evil, or, you know, they're demons or they worship demons. And when you say that, you say, well, what does that mean? I think it's possible that there are many people worshiping demons, and they don't know that they're worshiping demons, okay? I think that it's kind of like the many false idols. You know, one of the reasons why God doesn't like you having false idols is because he knows that they're bullshit. He knows that they're mass for the devil. So if you say, well, what about the polytheistic religions? Listen, all you have are more mass for the devil. Polytheism simply adds lots and lots of ways for the devil or a demon to sneak into your life and say, hey, dude, you know, I just want peace and love. So yeah, this is pretty crazy. I'm expressing these thoughts about the world because, like the other podcast, I feel like it was stuck in my craw. Like it kind of, you know, that experience I had in my last contract of that manager touching me. At the first time, it was just uncomfortable and weird. But the second or third time, it was like, what the fuck is he doing? And then there was that day where all I wanted to do was leave basically 2 hours early. And oh, by the way, I wasn't blocking anyone in Scrum terms, and I was actually helping a lot. Like, there was a lot of shit that was broken that they had no fucking clue or understanding of that I helped them with in a very short period of time. I'm not tooting my own horn, but that's true. But there was that day where, for some reason, I think he overheard me being a little bit, you know, I don't know how to phrase this, not so politic about some of the incompetence. There was that day he came up to my cube and just lit me up in front of everybody in the open cube. And he said, you know, you want to be honest here about this, because he was simply being irrational. I said, listen, dude, if we're having an honest open air conversation in front of everybody, don't ever fucking touch me again. That's what I told him. Now, do I think this particular Asian software engineering manager was possessed by a demon? No. But do I think it's possible that people like him worship entities a lot like those, you know, like Baal or Moloch or just versions of them? Yeah. I think smartphones are kind of like a way of connecting with the demonic. And in some sense, popular culture has become a kind of pantheistic religion. I mean, I don't know. These are very big issues, and I think people should talk about them. The fact that I say this doesn't mean you should believe it. And that's another thing. Just because I was being all harsh on the scientific types doesn't mean I'm actually harsh on them. I want people to be rational, you know. This stuff doesn't fit neatly into science, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be rational. And one of your rational choices, no matter what methodology of thought you adopt, is you can seek other opinions. You should seek other opinions. Mine feels extreme, but I'm not sure. I just don't know. I mean, my personal experience with the world, almost forever, but it's accelerated. It's really nonlinear. Like, I would say almost throughout my entire life, I've had these glimpses of something that looks like what we're living through right now. But over the last decade or so, I've had this horrible thought that this is exactly where we were going to end up, like in the situation where the world is today, where on the one hand, you're constantly told how amazing everything is and how perfect everything is. And that's why they want you to stare at the phone. But if you actually glance away from the phone, like where I live, you see people living in tents, okay? You see reality. So there's a lot messed up about that. And I always thought, yeah, that is where we will end up. We will end up in some sort of dystopian, you know, polarized glass reality where one version of it is, you know, everything's perfect and everyone's happy. And then underneath it, there's the 80 or 90% of people who are basically in a living hell. Many don't even know it. They think they have a chance. Like, if they can just hang on a bit longer, if they can just buy another lottery ticket. And I'm not saying lotteries don't pay, but they don't pay in a way that makes any rational sense, oh, by the way, for the science types. And if I may digress and rant, if you're a science type and you're upset with what I'm saying, you should be against every fucking state lottery there is. Because my God, that takes advantage of a lot of crazy, irrational, stupid behavior to the detriment mostly of, ding, 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 poor people. But again, I'm assuming the soulless masses of the dark forces who pretty much run the world now have any concern, which is irrational on my part. I know it's crazy. It's like a mantra. What if I told you I believe the world is mostly run directly or indirectly by demons at this point? And I gotta tell you, it's good to get it out there, because part of the process of seeing if something's bullshit is getting on the table, like saying, okay, you have this crazy thought in your head. You think it's true. It might actually be false. So part of this process is taking this crazy, insane, bizarre thought. I'm gonna get another glass of water here. This crazy, insane thought, and simply putting it out there, you know, saying, okay. And I don't even mean out there for very many people. Like, I have very few people on the World Wide Web who know who I am, and I have very few people who ever care if I write or read or speak or do anything on the web, blah, blah, blah. So to the microcosm of the dozen people who keep up with my podcast, That's a whole nother topic, really. So yeah, I kind of lost my thought there. I need to apologize, but I don't know. I may have pushed this too far. But getting it out there, I guess what I'm saying is getting it out there, even if it's just for a few people, and even if it's just for me, putting it out there is a process of seeing something for what it is. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Oh, wow. I hate it when I drift off and rants, and I do that every once in a while. It's just one of those things. But yeah, is it crazy? It probably is crazy. By any definition of contemporary, secular, normal behavior, everything I just said about demons, either directly or indirectly running the world, is insane. That is what the current paradigm would say. And it might be true, you know. Recently, I've been thinking a lot about what we're told about the world. And I know if you listen to me, if you do, you're listening to me now, so you do, but you know, I feel like we're basically lied to on a monumental scale. I never used to believe that. Like when I was in my 20s, I thought mostly they were telling us the truth. That was my naive belief. Like I know that they lied about some things, but they mostly tell the truth in real terms. What I have come to realize, especially since 9/11, is they're just principally lying all the fucking time. And when they do tell the truth, it has a hidden agenda as part of another lie. So it's a fucked up system, and they're mostly lying to us. It's very deceptive. Now that sounds crazy as well, doesn't it? But that's kind of what I believe. So in this particular world, where we're at right now, you have to figure it out for yourself. You're not going to be able to depend upon a lot of people for whatever information you're going to receive as being honest brokers. You need to research this. People need to research who owns, you know, which networks. People need to research how few networks there are. Okay? People need to understand that the censorship and control and the lying has been going on for decades. So you need to find these answers for yourself. You know, I can say, you know, read Manufacturing Consent by Noam Chomsky, but you need to just do your own thinking on this. What I am telling you is that one, and this is a complete tangent, I think Philip K. Dick nailed the whole thing. I think that he understood on some level what was going on. I think the distinction between whether this is real or simulation is irrelevant on one level. But on another level, what is important is who created the simulation or the reality? And are there other forces that want to destroy it? Because it's been my experience that the world, sans human. And I'm going to get a little Kantian here for a second. You know, Kant, I remember reading, I think it was his work on aesthetics, but I remember reading this distinction that Immanuel Kant, and if you don't know, Immanuel Kant was a German philosopher in the 18th century, famous for a lot of things. But big part of what we call the Age of Reason, you know what I'm saying? So that's great, the Age of Reason. But Immanuel Kant made a distinction between that which was beautiful and that which was sublime. Like, people could create art, and art could be beautiful, you know? If a person builds a cathedral, if an architect designs a cathedral, that could be beautiful. But a mountain or an ocean, these things, according to Kant, are sublime. It's almost like a deeper beauty. These are manifestations of God. When I look at the sublime in nature, when I do, when Dan does, I see. I really do. And I was probably seeing it even when I called myself an atheist, but I see the hand of God. When I look at most of the world I live in these days, I see the hand of people, obviously, but I see the hand of something else as well, and it ain't God. So you can call it whatever you want to, and you should do your own thinking. That's the best advice I can give. You don't have to call them demons. You can just say they're jerks and that mostly the world is being run by assholes now. Listen, if I were still an atheist, I would essentially agree with that statement. Like if someone came up to me and said, "Dan, I think most of the world is run by demons." I would say, "Dude, if you substitute demon for gigantic sociopathic asshole, then man, you and I are 100% in agreement. And I think there are many atheists who would see it that way as well. But we're told a narrative of how everything's wonderful and great, and really smart, good people run the world. And that's just total bullshit at this point. That's crap. Whatever you want to say, you have to admit to yourself that that's bullshit. But anyways, this is another long podcast, and I don't know who wants to listen to this shit. But, yeah, it's crazy. When I walk the streets at night, when I walk the streets during the day, I wonder to myself, did a demon just walk by? And just as bad, did somebody who worships or follows a demon just walk by? The scary thought is that when it comes to the latter, I kind of feel like that's the case all the time now. Anyways, have a happy Monday evening and a happy holiday season.